good evening and welcome to the NFL Draft. Tonight, we officially welcome the next generation of players. So if you're ready, are you ready? Let's get it started. The NFL Draft is officially open.
Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I am Trevor Sikkema. With me is Benjamin Solak. This episode of Locked On NFL Draft is brought to you by Stat Hero, the first ever daily fantasy sports book that gives you, the players, the advantage. Go to stathero.com/lockedon for 300% back on your first play. Wow, 300. It's more than 100. Didn't even know that was allowed.
Trevor.
Didn't even know we could do that, Ben.
Wait till you hear this.
What?
It's more than 200.
That's more than double 100.
Yeah. Insanity how numbers work.
Is that delicious? Is 300% back in your first play delicious, Ben?
Yeah, most definitely. I can honestly say from experience, yes.
Being the betting man that you are. On this episode, we are finalizing, putting a bow on all of the teams that will be participating in the NFL Antarctica Invitational Draft with global extinction on the line. This is the tournament of all tournaments, the tournament to save the human population. It's to get people to move down to Antarctica. Realize it's a beautiful place. Ben and I, over the last couple of weeks, have done a wonderful job highlighting the different areas of Antarctica in which the divisions in the NFL will be representing. That's what this exercise has been all about. Getting to the end, finding out which division in the NFL is the best. What we have done throughout the course of this is form offenses and defenses, starting 22-man lineups, using only the four teams in each division, and in the end of it, we're going to have a tournament style. Now, I've been saying that you guys are going to vote on the seeding of the tournament, but actually, Ben and I had a conversation, and we're going to do it a little bit different.
We don't trust you.
It's not
you
that we don't
do
trust
it wrong.
You.
Wrong. Yes.
All right, so Ben thinks it's because we don't trust you.
We don't trust them.
I think it's because, no, I'm just kidding. We both think this. We want to get you guys even more involved in this. We want you guys to have your own champion because as we've gone on throughout this exercise, we have got so much feedback. We've got so many back and forth on what teams have been, who should have been in what, how good teams look. And so we want you guys, the allies of the podcast, to crown your own champion as well. So we're going to switch it up. This is a Wednesday episode on the podcast, and on Wednesday, Ben and I are going to be tweeting out the bracket for the Invitational. We're going to come up with the seeding. We're going to have 1-8. We're going to have all of the matchups, and you guys are going to then vote in polls that we're going to create on Twitter, at Tampa Bay Trey, at Benjamin Solak. That's how you can find them. And in the end, we will get to a people's champ. Then on tomorrow's episode of the podcast, on Thursday, we will reveal who you, the people, believe is the best, most talented division in the NFL. And then Ben and I are going to go through it as well. So we're going to have our own champion. You guys are going to have your champion. And we're going to see if it all matches up and where we differ and what you guys think of all these teams. But we have one more team that we got to fill out here. It's an exciting one. I don't know if it was the best for last, but I think it's going to be exciting no matter what. It is the NFC West. So it's the San Francisco 49ers, the Los Angeles Rams, the Arizona Cardinals, and the Seattle Seahawks. We'll just start right off the bat with the quarterback position. And I'll start with the Seahawks. Representing them is one of the best in the NFL. It's Russell Wilson.
Geno Smith.
A coin flip god. If we were doing coin flip positions, it'd be Geno Smith. For the Arizona Cardinals, we, of course, have Kyler Murray. For the San Francisco 49ers, Jimmy Garoppolo / Trey Lance. I mean, I'm putting / to give each their shout out here, but I don't think that we're going to be choosing either of those guys. And then for the Los Angeles Rams, we now have Matthew Stafford. And John Wolford, shout out.
Big ass Wolfie.
Russell Wilson, right?
Yeah. I was willing to engage with you on a Matt Stafford v. Matt Ryan conversation last year. I'm not willing to engage with you in a Matt Stafford v. Russell Wilson conversation if you're trying to have that.
Nah. Even being on the correct side of the Matthew Stafford debate, I can't put Matt Stafford against against Russell Wilson. Just can't do it.
I'm going to be so mad when Stafford getting McVay'd is maybe people like, oh, yeah, he is.
Yeah, buddy.
No, he isn't.
Yeah, he is not. Buddy.
Nah, please relax.
Oh, man. When in like a couple of years, when that Fan Friday comes around and somebody's like, hey, remember that time that Ben thought Matt Ryan was better than Matthew Stafford
and Matthew Stafford
in the NFC Championship game, and Matt Ryan's retired on the couch, and I'm going to be like, yeah, I do actually remember that.
I was right.
Could not have been you. At running back for the Seattle Seahawks, we have Chris Carson, Rashad Penny, Travis Homer, DJ Dallas. These are names. Arizona Cardinals have Chase Edmonds and now James Conner. Ooh, James Conner's wearing number 6 and Chase Edmonds is wearing number 2. Oh, you love to see it.
Edmonds is wearing 2?
Yeah.
Jason Verrett's wearing 2.
Who's wearing 2?
Jason Verrett.
Who do you think?
Different team. Different. Oh, okay. Okay, we're fine. Yep, I'm there. I got it.
The San Francisco 49ers, the team with Jason Verrett, has Wayne Gallman, Raheem Mostert, Trey Sermon, Elijah Mitchell, and the Los Angeles Rams have Cam Akers, Daryl Henderson. That's about it. Who are we picking here?
Not really a good group for running backs, huh?
I feel like we say that a lot.
Yeah, well, interesting about that. I would say with injuries turned off, this is Chris Carson. I would love to be able to say it's Cam Akers. I think that we need at least another year to get some of those peak Cam Akers games to become his standard game. Akers showed some good stuff last year. I think that's exciting. But as of right now, I mean, Chris Carson's, when he's healthy, is really quite a good back, in my opinion. I think it's him. Don't really think anybody else has a shot.
It's probably Chris Carson, although I with injuries turned off, I don't like how you just didn't even mention Raheem Mostert at all.
Raheem was on 5 teams before he landed in San Francisco.
I don't give a damn what he was doing when he was 23.
All right, what if I told you he was on 6 teams?
Okay, now that matters. Yeah, get his name out of the conversation.
6 teams. This is the right, and I hear you with injuries turned off. I guess my thing with Mostert is that he is exactly what that offense needs. He is unbelievably fast. He has great acceleration, and then that's kind of really it. I don't think he brings a varied skill set to the table. And this is speaking as a big Raheem Mostert fan. Ex-Eagle great, preseason standout Raheem Mostert, 2017, I think. I like Raheem a lot. I just think that he is a one-dimensional player. He's a one-pitch player. He's a good part of a rotation. I think Carson's got more to his game.
I think you're right. I mean, like, Carson's got the back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. Oh, man, a fully healthy season, he probably gets another one in 2020. Mostert's just been so explosive. You know, he had 700 yards in 2019, didn't even start a single game. He was just kind of a rotational running back. Averaged 5.6 yards a carry. Last year, he averaged 5 yards a carry. I mean, like, he was still going crazy. Obviously, had
You picked Trey Sermon in our Offensive Rookie of the Year draft like 3 days ago.
Right.
What do you mean, right? He's backing up Raheem Mostert.
The whole point of me picking Trey Sermon was a home run pick. I explained this when I selected it. It was simply like, right, if Mostert isn't healthy, then Trey Sermon gets to be plugged in there. And you just mentioned the system is very running back friendly. It gets the most out of running backs.
So if the system could just make Sermon an Offensive Rookie of the Year, how are we going to take Mostert over Chris Carson?
Well, I mean, Mostert is still talented. Like, the dude still can run extremely fast. He's a big home run hitter.
Yes. I think he's a good rotational player.
All right,
you said you think it's Chris Carson.
I know. I think we were always going to pick Chris Carson. I just like going back and forth with you here.
Yeah, all right. So shout out to Raheem the Mustard Man Mostert, but it's Chris Carson.
Or is it the Munster Man, like Munster Cheese?
I always hear Mustard when I say his last name. Mustard.
That's probably a little closer.
Yeah.
Wide receiver.
Anyway.
This has been a very fun one to do throughout this series to figure out not only who we're going to get at pass catcher at wide receiver, but also sometimes tight end comes into the equation, as it did in yesterday's episode with the AFC West. For the Seattle Seahawks, we've got, of course, Freddie Swain at the top. Just kidding. Dwayne Askridge, Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf. There you go. By the way, I remember asking DK Metcalf at the combine when he showed up and was just like rocked up AF, just absolutely huge, had incredible athletic performances, right? And I remember asking him, what was the toughest thing to give up in your diet? You know, because a dude like that, every single calorie is calculated. And he said without hesitation, do you remember what he said, Ben? I think I talked to you about this. Do you remember?
No.
He said immediately, strawberry milk.
Oh.
Just like it, like instantly, she's like, oh yeah, strawberry milk.
I haven't thought about strawberry milk in many, many moons.
I hadn't before he said that. And the whole reason that I bring it up is because yesterday I saw a Nesquik commercial with DK Metcalf in it. And the Nesquik bunny was like handing him like regular milk and then chocolate milk. And he's like, nah, 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 you know what I like. And then the bunny handed him strawberry milk and he like smiled and just like nodded at him. And I'm like, you know what?
I saw
this coming back at the combine. Good for you, DK, following your dreams, getting a strawberry milk sponsorship. That's what life's all about.
Locked on NFL draft hosts theorize Metcalf is no longer committed to perfect health now that he's in the league.
Wow.
That's going to be the aggregation article that comes off of this conversation.
That is. I wouldn't even be mad. Wouldn't even be mad about it.
Good pub.
The Arizona Cardinals have DeAndre Hopkins, AJ Green, Andy Isabella, Rondale Moore, Christian Kirk. The San Francisco 49ers have Deebo Samuel, Mohamed Sanu, Brandon Ayuk. And then the Los Angeles Rams have Cooper Kupp, Van Jefferson, Robert Woods, DeSean Jackson, Tutu Atwell.
Mm-hmm.
Just had to throw that one in there. Who are we picking?
Okay, so definitely Hopkins.
Correct.
Definitely DeKalen.
Correct.
I think three is also very clear. Do you as well?
I'm going to try to think of who you think it's going to be. I think that you think it's going to be Tyler Lockett.
Do you think it's somebody else? Do you think it's a debate?
I would also be picking Tyler Lockett, and I wouldn't really have much reservation about it. Although, I would not hate getting Deebo Samuel or Cooper Kupp on this team in this role with those other two wide receivers, but I would not do it. No.
You would take Cooper Kupp over Robert Woods. That's interesting to me.
Oh, see now you're pushing me up against the wall because Robert Woods.
That's Bobby Trees, baby.
Robert Woods was my wide receiver one in 20. What was it? What was that draft? 14, 13? What was that draft?
You tell me. He was your dude.
Oh, I know, but I can't remember what number. I think it was 13. I think that was the 2013.
14 was like Odell.
Right.
There's no way
you had a
wide receiver one in that class.
No. Yeah. Although Hopkins was also in that class, I believe.
Right.
Now we got to look it up. 2013 NFL draft. I got to look at the wide receivers because I 100% had Robert Woods as my wide receiver one. I watched that USC offense. This is just when I was getting into like what I would call the amateur phase of my scouting career.
Right.
And I remember watching that USC offense. I was like, he's better than Marquise Lee. I guarantee it. We got a cave for this. Okay, so this group was Robert Woods in here? Yes, he was. This was Tavon Austin going number 8 overall. DeAndre Hopkins going 27 overall. And then it was Justin Hunter, Robert Woods, Aaron Dobson, Terrence Williams, Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen, third round. Oh, no, Trev. Oh, no.
It's all right. We all have him.
All that to say, I love Bobby Woods. He's also wearing number 2 now, so actually, you're right. Forget Cooper Kupp. I've never known him. Never known the man.
I think it is clearly Tyler Lockett. Yeah. I do. Especially with injuries turned off, Lockett out of the slot as a route runner is really, really good. Would love for this to eventually be Debo. Think that he could get there, especially with injuries turned off.
Right. But, right.
Depth of target of like one last year.
Which, 2.2 yards.
Yeah. Right. Legitimately 2.2 yard depth of target. So we'd like to see him used as more than a screen player. San Francisco fans, I've learned, are crazy big on Brandon Ayuk. Relax, Ajax. Again, hopefully he gets there, but he's not there right now. I think it is Lockett. And yeah, I would have, if we were going to argue anybody over Lockett, I would have expected Debo or Robert Woods. I would not have expected Cooper Kupp, which Cooper Kupp's very good. I just think Robert Woods is a better player.
Oh, okay. I don't hate that you believe that because I love Robert Woods, so I love to see it. But all that to say, I'm not even really close taking any of those guys over Tyler Lockett. I've thought that Lockett for a long time now has been one of the most underrated wide receivers in the NFL. He just—
Can you spell Tyler Lockett's last name?
L-O-C-K-E-T-T.
I always think it's L-O-C-K-E-T-T-E. I write it like that every single time.
Oh.
And then I look at it and I go, that's wrong. And then I have to double check, and it always is.
You probably—
This is just a problem I have.
You probably want to say it Tyler Lockett as well.
Tyler Lockett. Jacquet. No, that's the Eagles. That's the Eagles corner, Michael Jacquet. All right, tight end.
We have five players so far, and four of them are Seahawks.
Mm-hmm. Seattle's over-under was available at like 9.5 at some point this year. Or at 9, excuse me, some point this year.
Tight end, Seahawks. Got Will Disley, Colby Parkinson, Gerald Everett. Cardinals have Max Williams, Daryl Daniels, Ian Bunting. All right, the Niners have George Kittle. The Rams have Tyler Higbee, Johnny Mundt. Purposely emphasizing the D and the T, Mundt, and Bryson Hopkins. Wow, have to shout out Bryson Hopkins, who we had as tight end one in summer scouting. What was this, 3 years ago?
Two.
Oh, man. That feels like forever ago, Ben.
Because he almost came out 3 years ago, and then he went back to school.
Okay, so then it had to be 3 years ago, because I remember it was one of those weird things that you remember. I was on vacation, and we were doing the tight end episode of Summer Scouting, and I was at like a beach house, and I just remember you and I yelling about Bryson Hopkins. We're like, we got a good one! And then he didn't.
Right, because that tight end class was pretty bad.
Yes.
Yeah, he was good. People were wrong on him. He was the 2020 NFL draft. This was 2 years ago.
Right, but I think we talked about him initially 3 years ago, is what I'm saying. For the first time,
that's,
right?
That's also what I said.
No, that's— I was agreeing with you.
Yeah, I was agreeing with you first.
All right, this one's George
Hopkins.
This one's George Kittle, right?
Yeah. Shout out everybody else. It's George Kittle. Though also legitimately shout out Will Disley, because I was writing about Dallas Goedert the other day. Will Disley has absurdly good efficiency metrics, like yards per route run, yards per target, catch rate. For Seattle, like he looks like one of the best receiving tight ends in the league off efficiency, and then you realize he had like 30 targets.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, shout out Will Disley.
Okay, this offense, dude: Russell Wilson, DeAndre Hopkins, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, George Kittle. This is nuts.
It's also like decently balanced in terms of roles.
Yeah. Okay, offensive tackles. Got to build
offensive line. It gets a little bit weird.
Okay. All right. So offensive line for the Seattle Seahawks, we got Dwayne Brown, we got Brandon Shell, we got Cedric Obui, Stone Forsythe. No, that's bad. That's it. For the Cardinals, we have DJ Humphries, Josh Jones, Kevin Beachum, Brandon Bowen. Niners have Mike McGlinchey, Colton McKivix, just because I wanted to say his name. Trent Williams, that's the big one. And then the Los Angeles Rams got Andrew Whitworth, Joe Noteboom, Rob Havenstein, Bobby Evans. Oh, they have Alaric Jackson. What do you know? Okay. There we go. It's the list. Right.
So, no really, I think, particularly impressive or dominant right tackles, but the left tackle group is nuts. Trent Williams, Dwayne Brown, Andrew Whitworth. You know, that'll play.
Yeah.
Mike McGlinchey was maybe that guy, had a really, really rough 2020. As somebody who was not high on McGlinchey coming out. I thought that upright build and anchoring power would be a problem. It weirdly wasn't, and now it is, and I have no explanation for that, so do not ask me. But this feels like we got to ask a left tackle to kick over to right tackle. Trent Williams, Duane Brown, and Andrew Whitworth, like I said, are the three. To me, Trent Williams is obviously on the team.
Yeah, it has to be. No doubt.
Left tackle played better last year. Brown and Whitworth is... I do not know. If you have a strong opinion there, I will very gladly go with you. To me, those players are quite close.
Yeah. No, I really don't. Whitworth's been awesome, and Brown's been good, too. Man. PFF had them 5 and 6 in their grades for last year. So, I mean, like, these two are they're neck and neck.
Mm-hmm. Witt's turning 40 this year.
Which is just nuts.
Yeah. Young man. He's not a young man.
I was going to say, what a young man.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing that people don't realize, though. Duane Brown is 35. Brown ain't young either.
It's not right.
Yeah.
Has Brown's never played right tackle, right?
I don't think so.
Neither of these guys played right tackle.
I don't think Witt ever has.
I think I'm going Andrew Whitworth simply because I want the man to represent his division at 40 years old in Antarctica.
Whitworth played 2 years of left guard for the Bengals in 2007 and 2008.
Versatility, brother. Versatility.
Yeah.
You love to see it over a decade later.
Dude, can we talk about Andrew Whitworth? All right. He is, how old is he? He's going to be 40. Played 9 games last year, right? Year before that, 16. Year before that, 16. Year before that, 15, but he was a first-team All-Pro. Year before that, 16. Year before that, 16. Year before that, 16. Year before that, 14. Year before that, 16. Year before that, 16. Year before that, 16. Year before that, 16. Year before that, 10. Year before that, 16. Year before that, 16 with 12 starts. So he has missed a total of 6, 8, 9, 16 games across a 15-year career. Go.
I mean, Duane Brown ain't like he hadn't been available either. I mean,
he played. I know. I just like that's amazing for
it is. No, I don't mean to take it away from Whitworth at all, but we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years out of a 14-year career in which Duane Brown has missed any time at all. The rest he's played all 16 games. And then the games he's missed, it's been like 14, 14, 12, 12, 12. And then a 10-year one in 2017 when he was with Houston and then moved to Seattle.
Nothing is more, like, few things are more impressive to me than high game count, high usage, elite tackles. It's unbelievable. Imagine being that good of an athlete to have that much endurance at 320, 330 pounds.
Every year.
Bonkers.
For over a decade. Anyway. Wild. I'm gonna pick Andrew Whitworth because, like I said, 40-year-old man gets to represent the division in Antarctica.
Right. He's already got a little bit of snow in the beard as well, too.
Yeah,
the
he
aesthetic,
does.
I think.
I think that goes into it at this point. We're splitting hairs.
Yeah. So I think kick Whit to the right side. Expect him to be great.
Okay. Trent Williams, Andrew Whitworth. There we go. As the offensive tackles, interior offensive lineman for the Seattle Seahawks: Damian Lewis, Ethan Posick, Gabe Jackson. That's Duane Brown's tab. It's not what I want. For the Cardinals, we got Justin Pugh. We got Rodney Hudson. We got Brian Winters. Max Garcia as well, shout out. San Francisco 49ers. Alex Mack. Okay. Lakin Tomlinson. Justin Skull. Tom Compton. Los Angeles Rams have Brian Allen. David Edwards. Austin Corbett. That's about it. All right. Not as strong.
Yeah.
Not nearly as strong.
Not a great interior offensive line group. My three picks are all new to the division, which really tells you where this group was.
Hold on. Are we at least picking the two guys who could have been selected as Raiders?
Yeah. And then Alex Mack, who just came over from the Falcons.
Where are you putting where are you putting Hudson?
Right, so to me, the three best interior players are Alex Mack, ex-Falcon, who's now the center in San Francisco, Roddy Hudson, ex-Raider, who's now the center in Arizona, and then Gabe Jackson, ex-Raider, who's now the right guard in Seattle. I think it kind of sucks. You got to put Hudson at left guard. I don't want Justin Pugh. I don't want Lakin Tomlinson. I like what Dame Lou did as a rookie last year for Seattle. I don't think he's good enough yet to get on this team. Hudson plays at a bigger weight than Mack does, so I guess it's easier to kick him over to left guard, but even then, it's not perfect. I just don't think there's enough talent on the interior elsewhere to keep a guy as good as Rodney Hudson off the team.
I don't think I'd want to move Rodney Hudson off center.
So you want to move Mack to guard?
What's Mack weigh? I didn't realize that there was that big of a weight discrepancy. He's like 6'4", okay, he's like 3'10".
Yeah, and I want to say Rodney Hudson plays at like 3'10", but Rodney Hudson's shorter. Rodney Hudson's listed at 6'2", 299. That's a lie. NFL.com has him at 6'2", 315. That sounds a lot better.
PFF has him at 6'2", 300.
Yeah, Hudson, when Hudson came out, he was like sub 300, but there's no way he's sub 300 now. Okay, either way, put who you want at center, but who you want at guard. I do not think there's anybody else in this division in the air, in the tier of Jackson, Hudson, and Mack.
I think these are the three best interior offensive linemen. I would move Mack. I want Hudson to stay at center, especially with Gabe Jackson next to him, because he's got the experience playing center with Gabe Jackson next to him.
I can dig that.
So, all right.
Can we talk about how crazy it is that this division's had Aaron Donald for the better part of a decade, and all of the good interior offensive linemen in this division just got here? Well, what are these teams doing?
They're punting. They were like, we're not either get Quentin Nelson or Aaron Donald's right. Just going to win. That's it.
Forsaken, right. So might as well, right, not even try.
just absolutely punt it. You're not getting any better. All right, so NFC West, the offense, Russell Wilson, Chris Carson, DeAndre Hopkins, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, George Kittle, Trent Williams, Andrew Whitworth, I don't know why I said Andre, Rodney Hudson, Gabe Jackson, and Alex Mack. Before we flip over to the defensive side of the ball, we told you guys at the top about Stat Hero. Did you know that 85% of people who play daily fantasy sports lose? Is it really that surprising when you really think about it? The game is rigged against you. You're playing against thousands of other lineups, not to mention all of the experts who have a lot more tools, more time. You don't stand a chance. Now introducing Stat Hero. It's the first ever daily fantasy sports book that puts the player in control and winning within reach. Here's how it works. Stat Hero shows you their lineups and dares you to beat them. That's what the setup is. It's you versus the house, head-to-head fantasy matchup style. You name your stakes, winner takes all. You've got the advantage. Stat Hero is showing you their lineups ahead of time. No one else does that. Go to stathero.com/lockedon. Sign up for free right now, and you can get 300% back on your first play. They're giving you 300% a match. That's absolutely unheard of. Go over to stathero.com/lockedon. Stathero.com/lockedon. I've said it so many times, it's like I'm going to dream about it before I go to bed. Also might be dreaming about that 300% because I can't get over it. Before we get over to the defense, also have to shout out BuiltBar.com, the best tasting protein bars on the planet. You guys have heard us talk about this many, many times before, but as a reminder, these aren't just really great tasting protein bars. They're fantastic for you. They're low in calories, low in sugar, but also very high in protein, high in fiber as well. They're great for any diet out there. You can have a morning, noon, and night. You can enjoy them before a workout, after a workout, whatever it is. They've got incredible flavors over at their website. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, that's LOCKED, and then 15, and you will get 15% off your first order. Use the promo code LOCKED15, go check out all the flavors, get 15% off over at BuiltBar.com. Ben mentioned Aaron Donald in the division.
Never heard of him.
Have a feeling we're going to select him on this team. Right now, the way that we have the defense set up is we have two edge players that we're picking. We have two interior defensive linemen, two linebackers, nickel defender, which could be like a safety, another linebacker, another corner, two outside corners, and then two safeties. But as we've seen in the last couple of episodes, we can get a little bit fluid with that. Let's start with edge rusher. for the Seattle Seahawks. They're boasting Daryl Taylor, Alden Robinson, LJ Collier, Kerry Hyder. They do have Carlos Dunlap.
I was about to say about Dunlap back. Yeah, they got
Carlos Dunlap. They got Carlos Dunlap. For the Arizona Cardinals, we have Chandler Jones for sure. What do you want to call J.J. Watt?
Depends.
Okay. They also have Marcus Golden, Victor Dumakeje. That's about it there, as long as we're kind of like we're having up in the air what J.J. Watt could be for this team. Mm-hmm. For the 49ers, they have Nick Bosa. They have Kentavious Street. They have Arden Key. They have Jordan Willis. I would say that Arik Armstead's interior defensive line, right? We're probably not going to fudge that one.
No. If you check PFF last year, he took 750 snaps from the defensive line. Over 650 of those snaps. So I'll put it this way. Fewer than 100 snaps were in the interior. He took 424 snaps at LEO, left end outside. He took 154 at left end, 37 at left outside linebacker. He is an edge for them.
Oh, so Armstead's an edge.
Yes. He took the vast majority of his snaps at edge last year.
Okay. All right. So he's an edge. So he's in there. The Rams have Ogbonia Okoronkwo, Derek Moncrief, Ernest Brown, Leonard Floyd.
Floyd, yeah.
Terrell Lewis. That's about it. All right, that's it.
This is unquestionably Nick Bosa and Chandler Jones. Two of the five best edges in the league, maybe two of the four best.
I would agree with you.
I think that D Ford, cool. J.J. Watt, maybe a couple years ago. Well, actually, definitely a couple years ago.
Wait, did I not mention D Ford?
Did you?
I didn't say D Ford.
Why not?
Do they have? Oh, D Ford. Okay, he was behind Arik Armstead at left defensive end.
Oh, when you were listing them, I was like, why aren't we mentioning D Ford?
No. When I was listing them, I totally forgot about D Ford.
Yeah, so D Ford as a good honorable mention. J.J. Watt a couple years ago definitely would have had one of these spots, but it's Nick Bosa and Chandler Jones, who, as I said, two top five rushers. I know I said last podcast that was probably the best edge rush group we had. This is maybe the best edge rush group we had. So it's a talented position, baby.
Just talking about edge rushers here. Is Chandler Jones and Nick Bosa better than Von Miller, Joey Bosa?
Yes.
Chandler Jones, Nick Bosa is better, you say?
Yes.
Okay.
I think Nick's, better than Joey.
Are they better than Khalil Mack?
Miles Garrett, DJ.
Nah. Than Khalil Mack and Danielle Hunter.
Yes. You think Danielle Hunter is so good.
Because he is.
Joey Bosa and Von Miller is better than Khalil Mack and Danielle Hunter. Nick Bosa and Chandler Jones is better than Khalil Mack and Danielle Hunter. Miles Garrett and TJ Watt is better than Khalil Mack. This is a Thursday podcast topic. Getting ahead of ourselves.
All right. I won't answer the last one. We'll wait till Thursday. Interior defensive line. Seattle Seahawks have Puna Ford. Al Woods, Robert Kimdichie, hell yeah!
Forgot they'd signed him.
The Arizona Cardinals have J.J. Watt, Leke Fotu, Zach Allen. Niners have Zach Kerr, Javon Kinlaw, Maurice Hurst. Oh, nice, D.J. Jones, and then the Rams, of course, have Aaron Donald, and then Sebastian Joseph Day, Greg Gaines. All right, let's just get to it.
Okay, so Aaron Donald.
Yep.
And?
Yep. Don't be dumb. Just pick. Just pick him. Just put him in there.
Who do you think? You think Watt?
Yeah, unquestionably, J.J. Watt, yes.
It's a question of how many snaps.
How many snaps?
It's a question of, is he legitimately that player? He did not take very many snaps inside the tackle box. And I should say, inside the inside shoulders of the tackles last year. He didn't. Given 10 snaps at defensive left tackle, 8 snaps at defensive right tackle by PFF charting, 700 snaps at Leo, 134 snaps at Rio, 32 snaps at right end, 90 snaps at left end. He had 7 snaps at nose tackle. But, like, I don't know if that's really, like, is he an interior player? Are we just going to do it because we can?
Yeah, probably.
I'm fine with that.
Because Watt's measurables are massive, aren't they?
He's 6'5", 290.
Oh, 290, okay. I guess I thought he was a little bit heavier.
Aaron Donald is in the 290s.
No. I know, but right. Obviously that's...
Donald's built like a bowling ball.
Yeah, it's a little bit different.
No, I'm fine with putting Watt in there, if not just for the fact that we get to put Aaron Donald next to J.J. Watt. And yes. That's literally the two greatest defenders of this past decade. Look it up if you don't believe me.
Right, that which is also a Thursday topic, which I'm not allowed to get to per Ben, so we can talk about that tomorrow. Linebackers. Seattle Seahawks have Jordan Brooks, Bobby Wagner, Ben Burkervin, Cody Barton. Arizona Cardinals have Isaiah Simmons, Zaven Collins. God, that's hilarious. Jordan Hicks. Niners got Fred Warner, Dre Greenlaw. I mean, that's it. And then the Los Angeles Rams have Micah Kizer, Troy Reader, Kenny Young, and a bunch of other guys that we're not going to select.
We finally have good linebackers.
And not only do we have good ones, we have two of the three best in the league.
I can do that.
Right?
Yeah. I'm with that. I can vibe with it. Bobby Wagner and Fred Warner, baby. Wagner Warner. Little law firm back there.
I mean, the only other linebacker I'd put in there would be David, who I'd say is the top three. Those are the top three in the league.
Well, I've heard Devin White's top linebacker in the league. So.
Okay, well, you should listen to people who don't speak off of recency bias and hyperbole.
I'd want to get DeMario Davis in that conversation. I think maybe by the end of this year, Roquan's going to be up there. But yes, I think Warner Wagner, two of the top three.
My five would be DeMario Davis, Dunta, and then Dunta Hightower.
Good as well.
Those would be my best five linebackers in the NFL.
Either way, Bobby Wagner and Fred Warner, baby. Yeah, three up is three. This is Robot the Crosser, all right? We're about to cover some folks.
Dude, this front is Chandler Jones, Nick Bosa, Aaron Donald, J.J. Watt, Bobby Wagner, Fred Warner.
I don't think we will need it, given the construction of this division, how I see it. Is there a guy who stands out to you as the third linebacker in the event that we're playing out of base?
Zaven Collins, baby.
Isaiah Simmons. Right, in terms of actual right now talent, Jordan Hicks. But like I said, yeah. I don't think we're going to need that player.
I don't think we're going to get him either.
Yeah.
Leonard Floyd, maybe, if we want to spice it up. But that wouldn't really... That wouldn't
get weird.
I don't know if that would actually be the point of getting another linebacker in there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so corners. Seattle Seahawks have Akilah Witherspoon, Trey Flowers, Pierre Desir, Trey Brown, the rookie from Oklahoma. Arizona Cardinals have Malcolm Butler, Byron Murphy, Robert Alford, Marco Wilson. Not forgetting anybody, right? No. Okay, that's it. Okay. San Francisco 49ers, we got Jason Verrett. We got Dante Johnson, Kwan Williams, Emmanuel Mosley, Diamador Lenore, Ambry Thomas. We're not picking those guys. And then the Rams have Jalen Ramsey.
Never heard of him.
Darius Williams. David Long. Robert Rochelle. I mean, that's it. That's all we're going on.
Trevor, you watching? You seeing this right here? This is me turning injuries off. Ready? Watch this.
Okay. All right,
that's injuries off.
Okay.
Jason Verrett, baby. Let's go, brother.
Don't get me wrong. You know that I would absolutely jump at the chance to get Jason Verrett on this team. Are we 100% picking him over Williams, Darius Williams? Because Williams is really good last year.
Absolutely. Right. Williams was very good last year. Brett's been good whenever he's been on the field.
I agree. I just wanted to bring it up because I'd love to get Brett on here.
I'd be very glad to hear Darius Williams, third best corner, if we're going to play him in the nickel, and then we can also play Verrett in the nickel. That's fine by me. I think that Darius Williams has a strong case to be the third best corner in this division. Kawan Williams as well, the nickel corner out of San Francisco, deserves a mention if we're doing a nickel guy. With that said, I think the Verrett's clearly two. Obviously, Ramsey is one.
All right. I love it. Jalen Ramsey, Jason Verrett. Let's go, baby. The safeties, before we get to our nickel defender, we can choose our last defender here. Safeties, we've got Jamal Adams and Marquise Blair for the Seahawks. This division is just insane. Buda Baker, Charles Washington for the Cardinals. The San Francisco 49ers have Jimmy Ward, Jacrisky Tartt, Marcel Harris. And then the Rams are boasting Jordan Fuller, Taylor Rapp, Terrell Burgess, Juju Hughes. Man. Are we going Buda Baker and Jamal Adams?
So this is my thought. I think that Buda Baker's got to be on there. Jamal Adams has got
to
be on there.
Has to.
I can play Buda in the nickel. I can play him in the slot as a cover man. I can play Jamal as a quasi-third linebacker, as Seattle did. I can play him up on the edge. I still want a player who can play from the roof. Buda can, but it's not his best usage. Jamal, not really his game. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, I do think the third best safety in this division, with room for argument, is Jimmy Ward out of San Francisco, who plays their free safety role. And he plays it more of a quarters player, so he has to play down, everything like that. So it's not like a true center fielder. If we really want to get a center fielding guy, Jordan Fuller from the Rams, I don't think Fuller was a 6th round rookie last year. He played very well. I don't think there's enough there to say with our chest that he's that guy yet. Mm-hmm. So to me, I would take Jimmy Ward, and I would want my secondary to be Ramsey on the outside, Verrett on the outside, Buda Baker being able to play the slot, Jamal Adams being able to play my box, be able to play my overhang, and then I play Jimmy Ward deep. That, to me, makes the most sense for this secondary.
I think I agree with you. I'm just scanning the safety room to see if there's another option.
You can do Buda deep, Jamal in the box, and then take one of Kawan Williams, one of Darius Williams or Kawan Williams, and put them up in the slot. If you think that guy's better than Jimmy Ward, I'm not sure I do.
Kawan Williams is really good.
Jimmy Ward is really good.
No, I know. All right, I'm going to go with Ward. I'm going to go with the Ward strategy. Let's do Jimmy Ward at free safety. Jamal Adams at strong safety, right? That's what you said. And then we got Buda in the nickel.
Yeah. And obviously we're able to move guys around and generally vibe. Because, I mean, Jimmy played
just vibe,
200 snaps in the box, 200 snaps at slot corner, 400 snaps at free safety, which is not dissimilar to Buda's distribution. So those guys are going to be pretty interchangeable. And then Jamal Adams is going to live in the outside.
Jamal Adams is just going to live
I mean, on the edge. Jamal Adams is just going to be a box player.
I know, but it was just hilarious how you said that.
Yeah, Jamal Adams is just going to vibe.
All right, I'm tallying it up right now. Rams had one, two, three. I think this will get us. Yep, this will get us where we want to go. Okay. So here we go. Here is the roster for the NFC West. God, this is stacked. Russell Wilson at quarterback, Chris Carson at running back. Wide receiver, we got DeAndre Hopkins, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett. Tight end, George Kittle. Trent Williams, Andrew Whitworth as the offensive tackles, and then Rodney Hudson, Gabe Jackson, Alex Mack as the interior offensive lineman. Edge rushers, Chandler Jones, Nick Bosa, interior defensive lineman, Aaron Donald, J.J. Watt, linebackers, Bobby Wagner, Fred Warner. Nickel defender, we've got Buda Baker. Corners, we got Jalen Ramsey, Jason Verrett. Safeties, we got Jimmy Ward, Jamal Adams. All in all, we had 7 Seahawks players, 7 49ers, 5 Arizona Cardinals, and 3 Los Angeles Rams. Man, you may think Rams don't have a ton of representation, but they're bringing 2 of the best in the league to the table. They're putting Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey on this roster. I mean, this is an unbelievable team. This is stacked.
I don't want to have a Thursday conversation yet, but this front seven's got to be our best, right?
Oh, we're going to get to that Thursday conversation when Ben allows us to get into Thursday conversations on Thursday. Hey, who is the mascot for the NFC West? We didn't do that at the top.
Yeah, didn't ask at the top. Okay, so it's the last team.
Just cut me off next time.
It's the last team, and I kept on doing like fun little jokey stuff, like little memes, and like, oh, the sandwiches. As the last team, we got to get the South Pole in there. That's, I think, the main area of Antarctica that people are aware of. And so I hope you've learned something during the podcast. We're not learning anything on this one. We're doing the South Pole. And then I thought walruses lived in Antarctica. They don't. They're exclusively Arctic creatures,
That's tough.
Devastating. I really wanted to get a walrus in there. Walrus is a funny creature. As it is, the true apex predator of the Antarctic and food chains is the killer whale. It's the orca out here throwing seals around, smashing them against the water, and gobble, gobble, gobble. I learned that the scientific name for the orca is Orcanus orca, which is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. So as it is, the South Pole killer whales. An appropriately intense name for a very intense team.
Yeah, you're right. See, it all worked out. We did the name afterwards, and it's appropriate for the roster that we just chose. We got to do head coach, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator from this group.
All right. The offense is hard because there's a lot of good guys. Defense is hard because of the opposite. Offensively, you're looking at Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan. If you want to put Cliff Kingsbury in there, you can, but you shouldn't. So dealer's choice on that one. I personally want Pete Carroll to be my head coach because of Pete's long tenured success. The Seattle Seahawks have never won fewer than 10 games. I think they've only done it once or something like that since he got Russell Wilson. So I think that you've got that. And it's very difficult to argue with Pete Carroll's long tenure of winning, even if some of his ideas are antiquated. So I like Carroll as the head coach. I like McVay personally as the offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. And then defensive coordinator gets tricky. You can try to get Wise and put Pete Carroll as the DC because that's what he was before he was a head coach. But he also hasn't been a DC since literally the 90s. And I'm not sure if that just like even makes sense from a power distribution perspective. Like, how can he be coaching under like a 35-year-old? It makes no sense.
I'm super tempted to make it McVay as head coach and Kyle Shanahan as offensive coordinator.
And then Carroll is DC. Your options for DC are Vance Joseph.
They're Vance Joseph or Raheem Morris. That's it.
Raheem Morris, right.
Right. Those are the two.
I mean, D'Amico Ryans is the new DC in San Francisco.
Yeah, I know. I know, but we're not picking D'Amico. He hasn't been a defense coordinator yet.
I love D'Amico. And I got love for Raheem. I think that he always made those defenses better in Atlanta when Dan Quinn gave him control, but also it's like spot drop cover three. And then Vance Joseph is a guy who blitzes.
I'd probably pick Vance Joseph. Do you think Vance Joseph's terrible? You said that like Vance Joseph's terrible.
I don't really get it with Vance Joseph. Here's my thing. Mm-hmm. Are we really going to put Vance Joseph on a coaching staff and not have Pete Carroll on it?
No, but I think the only place we could put Pete Carroll is head coach. I'm with you.
So then we'd have to put Vance Joseph on and take one of McVay or Shane. Can we just make McVay DC? Like, what?
He'd probably be able to figure it out. Why didn't Brandon Staley just like not be a head coach for like 1 year?
Yeah. Why didn't Brandon Staley consider what this was going to do to us?
Yeah. Brandon Staley's family should have told them that this was coming.
The Locked On NFL Draft.
Yeah. All right. So it's basically, would you rather have Sean McVay head coach, Kyle Shanahan offensive coordinator, Vance Joseph defensive coordinator, or Pete Carroll head coach, Sean McVay offensive coordinator, and then still Vance Joseph as defensive coordinator?
I would prefer Pete Carroll because I think that with Shanahan and McVay, you just got a lot of overlap. And, Carroll kind of sucks at decision making. Fine, whatever,
right.
Shanahan and
McVay. Right.
Shanahan and McVay. Just want it to be known I respect and appreciate Pete Carroll. But also start going for it on fourth down, you freaking coward.
I don't necessarily want to take away from everything that Pete Carroll's been able to do over the last 20 years, but if I have my choice, I'm taking Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan, and Vance Joseph. That's what I would want. Is that what we're getting?
Yes.
All right, so now we are going to do what we promised we would do, and we are going to select kickers for every single division. We're going to start with the NFC South because that was the first division. We're going to go in the same order. We'll do this pretty quickly. For the Falcons, we got Younghoe Koo. We've got Will Lutz. We got Joey Sly.
Joey Sly.
We got Ryan Succop. Those were obviously weren't all for the Falcons. Those were for the Saints, Panthers, and Bucks. But I think Younghoe Koo is the best, right? That's probably
yes,
the best.
Yes, Younghoe Koo. He hit like multiple onside kicks last year. He's the best kicker of all time.
Okay. Best kicker of all time.
Multiple onside kicks in the year 2020 of our Lord? Yes.
That's fair. You know what? That's actually fair. Okay. Moving on to the AFC North. There's not much of a debate here. Justin Tucker's in this division. We also have Chris Boswell for the Steelers, Cody Parkey for the Browns, Randy Bullock.
Shout out Cody Parkey, still in the league.
Dude, okay, yeah, but bigger shout out to Justin Tucker, who's like
correct.
The greatest kicker of all time. NFC North. Actually, we all right, so we're two kickers into this and we've already had greatest kicker of all time be labeled twice.
Yeah, and guess what's about to happen again with Matt Prater.
Okay, so Matt Prater, this is for the NFC North. We've got Matt Prater for the Detroit Lions. Mason Crosby for the Green Bay Packers, been around a long time. Cairo Santo for the Chicago Bears. Dan Bailey for the Vikings. Matt Prater?
Greatest kicker of all time.
Greatest kicker of all time.
Mason Crosby started to struggle last year, if memory serves, which is pretty sad.
I feel like he is, yeah, like just kind of started to struggle in general. You could look up field goal percentage stats if you want to while I look up AFC East. It's the next division we got here. AFC East. Okay. We have Jason Sanders.
He was 16 for 16 last year.
Oh, wow. Okay. Look at all this like potential.
Still Matt Prater. Great kicker of all time. All right.
We got Jason Sanders for Miami Dolphins. Tyler Bass for the Buffalo Bills. Oh, do the Patriots still even have Nick Folk? Is he still their kicker?
I don't know. It's not Vinatieri anymore. I can tell you that.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for that, Ben.
Thank goodness I was here.
Nick Folk. Oh, and Roberto Aguayo?
Wow. Buccaneer great.
Nick Folk, also a Buccaneer great. People forget.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
You didn't remember that? There was like a span of time where the Buccaneers could not find a good kicker. And one of those guys was Nick Folk. And he hit like a game winner, and then he was just absolute butt the rest of the season, and they cut him. Sam Ficken for the New York Jets, but... I mean, this is Jason Sanders for the Miami Dolphins, right?
Sure.
Don't sound too confident there, Ben.
I'm very worried Joe, who we know pays a lot of attention to specials, is going to be like, you guys are underestimating Tyler Bass.
Was that an accent at all, or was that... That's
Tyler Bass, baby. Let's go.
Okay, the next division is the NFC East. Ben, off the top of your head, any GOAT kickers coming from this category?
I was about to say Jake Elliott as a bit, but that's a BGN radio podcast bit. Jake Elliott's pretty bad. is Dustin Hopkins the best one, the Washington kicker?
Graham Gano is also in this division for the New York Giants.
Mm.
Greg the Leg Zuerlein, who has the greatest nicknames of any kicker.
Oh, frick. All right, Jake Elliott's probably the worst kicker in this division. Then.
Jake Elliott's definitely the worst kicker in this division.
He's the best kicker in this division. Watch your mouth.
Greg Zuerlein, aka Legatron.
I would do Dustin Hopkins or Graham Gano.
Probably Graham Gano, I think.
It's a good name.
I would be voting for Graham Gano. True vet. Gotta get the vet presence. Dustin
Graham
Hopkins.
Gano's 31 for 32 last year.
What was Dustin Hopkins?
This has him down as 1 for 1, which I believe to be incorrect.
All right, so we're on to the AFC South, and there's only one true name to choose from. Oh wait, there's not. Shoot. Oh crap. Scrolling here.
Drama on the podcast.
Okay, so Steven Goskowski's in this division, but he's kind of washed.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's Rodrigo Blankenship.
Yeah.
Or Josh Lambeau.
Rodrigo for the memes.
Might have to go with Rodrigo for the memes.
Dude.
Even though this would be very insulting to Josh Lambeau. I just want to give Josh Lambeau his props here, but I think we got to go with Rodrigo Blankenship.
That's Post Malone right there, baby. You got to respect him.
actually, you're right. He does look a lot like Post Malone.
Yeah, that was the joke for his whole Georgia career, I feel like.
No, I thought the joke for his Georgia career was that he had glasses.
That's the only thing that distinguishes him from Post Malone.
You know, now you say that out loud, that's actually fair. That's actually a fair game. AFC West, I believe it's his next team. Make sure I'm in the right order here. Yes, AFC West. We have Harrison Butker. Broncos got Brandon McManus, who's also good. Raiders have Daniel Carlson. And the Chargers have Michael Bagley. I think this was
Daniel Carlson. Daniel Carlson was the guy at the Senior Bowl who hit that pole, right? Like in between the, you remember what I'm talking about?
Like the field goal pole?
There was a telephone pole behind the field goal posts, like in the middle of them, and he had a 60-yarder and he hit that pole dead on. I think it was Daniel Carlson.
Okay, now I'm rethinking my Harrison Butker selection with a story like that.
Yeah, it's almost definitely Harrison Butker. He's really, really good.
The no pressure feats that kickers can do,
right,
is pretty mind blowing. I'm just like, the stories of kickers hitting absolutely ridiculous shots from ridiculous angles. There's got to be so many of those stories, you know? Big shout out, kickers. Last division, NFC West, the one we just did. Oh, come on, load. Please load. Oh, it's not loading. This is my absolute nightmare. Is this
the last one?
There was literally one left, and it's not loading.
Do it from memory, you coward.
I can't.
Do it from memory.
I can't. All right, thank God it loaded. We've got okay. Robbie Gould.
No, wait, don't tell me.
Okay.
So Robbie Gould for San Francisco, and then I know that Arizona is Zane Gonzalez. And then the Rams are, they don't have a kicker.
No, they
and
do.
And then the
they
Seahawks,
do.
No, they don't.
No, they definitely do.
Seahawks is Michael Dixon pretending to be a place kicker. There we go, 4-for-4.
Who did you just wink at?
You.
Okay, now it's uncomfortable.
The listeners.
Okay, yeah, thank you. That's a little bit better. Matt Gay is the kicker for the Los Angeles Rams, by the
way.
Oh,
frick. Fifth round pick out of Utah. Dang.
Also a Buccaneer great.
Oh, shoot, that's right. Yo, you guys got to stop drafting kickers.
Robbie Gould? Probably the answer here?
Robbie saved. Like Rob, I feel like San Francisco was going through a lot of kickers, and then Robbie Gould settled it down. No, wait. I might be misremembering that. All I know is when Gould left Chicago, it was like a big deal, and now he's in San Francisco, and he's good again.
There it is, folks. We gave you your kickers, which you demanded. If you weren't paying attention.
We put in time.
We put in the time and the clear effort. If you guys weren't paying attention at the beginning of the podcast, we've changed up the format of how you guys are going to get in on this series with us. This is the Wednesday episode of the pod. So today, on Wednesday, Ben and I are going to be tweeting out the screenshots of each of the rosters, as well as a little poll for you guys to tell us who's going to win each matchup. We're going to come up with a bracket. Originally, we wanted you guys to come up with the seeding, but instead, we're going to make the graphic. We're going to make the bracket. We're going to tweet out the rosters. We're going to tweet out the bracket. And then you guys are going to choose who is going to win each matchup all the way up until the championship round. Choosing who is your champion, who you believe is the most talented, best division in the NFL. And then on Thursday, so tomorrow's episode, Ben and I are going to go through your results. And we're also going to go through the tournament ourselves to come up with our own winner. See if we think similarly, if we believe that there is a similar champion. I'm super excited for this. It's all been leading up to this episode that's coming up tomorrow. Until then, you guys keep it locked right here on Lockdown NFL Draft.